Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It's more than a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. It's perfect for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Today, I'd like to share with you a tool that was inspired by today's guest. It's called the Decision Filter, and it's a very clear way to decide what's really important right now in just a few steps. You can download your free decision filter at fitology.com/decision-filters. And that link, of course, will go into the show notes. Now, today, I am so excited to have with us Alyssa Axel, an attorney by training and a budding disability rights advocate by experience and passion. She's an adventurous world traveler and a powerful writer, plus the single mom of a fantastic young adult. Her medical history alone would make most people's heads spin, even without executive functioning challenges, but she handles it all with an unstoppable sense of humor and the courage and persistence. Now, for anyone listening today, Alyssa and I have worked together for some time, and together we want to highlight the way ADHD compounds some of the conditions that often come along with it. So, Alyssa, thank you for being here. Let's start out with the fact that you didn't even know you had ADHD until your 40s. And even now, you're not quite sure if ADHD is alone or whether maybe autism is in the picture as well, right? What was it like for you the very first time that you heard your mind was anything but average?
Oh, okay. Well, I was taught early on by my parents. Well, I hate to say this, that something was wrong with me, that I think too much, that I am too much, that I'm complicated, that I'm all over the place. That was well before, those are in my formative years, that was well before any idea of a diagnosis, and neurodivergence was on the table. And to be honest, you are the first person that introduced me to the term neurodivergence. And that can mean like a whole bunch of things, right?
Yeah. That's such a common, and it's unfortunately common, and it's an important story to share that so many of us have been told that we're wrong, we're too much, we're not enough, we think too much, we think too little sometimes. I mean, we've gotten all these messages growing up that something about us just doesn't quite fit what other people expect. And that's painful. That's damaging.
To simplify that, the message is you're wrong.
Yep.
You're bad. Have shame. One of the best things that I think you do for women, for people, I don't think it has to be specific to women, but I think it's extra. Speaking of being extra for women is the shame factor and the wrong factor. And I think we're looking at that, not to use the word wrong, but I think that we need to turn it on its head and look at all these opportunities and skills and talents that we're not tapping into because we're still trying to catch up with whether it's a Piscean age thing or, you know, a male oriented, we could say white man oriented, but I mean, we don't even need to do it all like that, that, you know, we're trying to fit into, you could just say square peg, round hole. I mean, why we do that to each other is something you and I explore. How to get around it is another thing we explore. We have all these opportunities, all these creative outlets, all these potential pathways that could be really positive if we can learn, this is a me thing probably, if I can learn to let all that judgment, shame, criticism go, that's actually stopped me from being the very best reason I'm here.
Yeah, and it is not just you by any stretch.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, I've been there too, just like everybody else, I think. Probably everybody. As the person who has not experienced that, I think would be the rare exception and lucky for them, but I think the rest of us have had to fight through that too.
If you have a fancy brain, then you actually get more flack. And the weirdest thing about that, to me, one of the weirdest things, is that, I love that what you say, it's not about trying harder. The weirdest thing is when you're getting flack and when you're getting pressure and when you're getting criticized for being just a creative, fabulous 360 person, is that we get stuck in what we're not, and we get stuck in what people are saying instead of flying, into these great creative projects.
Yeah, that stuckness is a very familiar territory for me personally and professionally in my work. I've been so excited for you to be here and share your story because it is really complex. You're managing chronic illness and medical trauma along with ADHD. And I think these overlaps are probably far more common than anybody realizes. So I'm curious for you, where do you find that the overlap of all these things becomes the most problematic?
Oh, well, okay. Where it becomes problematic is giving a simple statement, a simple summary, an explanation of what happened. So, to use my near-death experience, people want to know what happened, and it's very difficult to separate one thing from the other. I wouldn't have, it's like, to use like a law term, it's proximate cause. This wouldn't have happened if this hadn't happened, if this hadn't happened. Where are we in that, like target, bullseye, right? What ring are we in? It's like Prosser and torts. What is hard for me is I want to tell my story, and there are so many important aspects of my story. And to be clear, my goal in telling the story is to prevent others from having negative consequences from this. But my disease, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, involves multiple comorbidities. I have over 20. And what happens is you go to the colorectal surgeon, you go to the urogynecologist, the rheumatologist, the orthopedic, and everyone silos you. And the most frustrating part of my disease would be the same frustrating part of being ADHD, which is people trying to simplify something that is innately complex and then shaming me for not being simple enough or focused enough. It's not for lack of effort, like you said, like it's not a try harder thing. It's a we need to look at things differently as a society.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think that's just rampant across the medical field. Period, in general, this tendency to put things in very narrow silos and have this kind of reductionist mentality where you need to go see a specialist for every single tiny thing. There are exceptions out there and really outstanding ones, some great functional and integrative doctors that I really respect. They're so few and far between that not everybody can get to them. And that makes it really hard to manage overlapping things
Well, one of the things that
in
I
a
haven't
cohesive
gotten to
picture.
talk to you about is I had a call with the Cleveland Clinic recently, and it's someone who's working on EDS awareness, and she has EDS too. And we came into the Cleveland Clinic differently, and we've had totally different experiences. And one of her concerns is that why, when we're at an internationally renowned clinic, why aren't the doctors on these EDS panels, teams, focus groups able to bring themselves together? I would love to offer myself out to anyone, anywhere, to have these conversations, not to complain and not to be a patient, but to suggest we can do this better.
Boy. Yes, please.
Yes, please. And
Yeah.
some of the things are like we have tools now. Why are the, I know that the educational community is having a problem with their major grading systems shut down. Like I had a, like, oh, I can't remember the word, but like a tech invasion. So then
Yeah,
they're
they were
having to,
hacked.
yeah, Canvas, I think is what it's called. And then why do I have to constantly redo MRIs, redo X-rays? Why can't we share information in the information age? Is that a proprietary thing? Is that a monopoly thing? Is it a capitalist thing? We know we can pull things together. And what happens to people with EDS who don't even have ADHD, but a lot of us do. But what happens is we're considered all over the place, but it's really the system. We have these tools, like a doc review. There are these tools. I'd love to get it together. People should not be recreating the wheel at this point.
That's right. Yeah. And changing that could change the face of medicine, maybe. Who knows?
Right. Well, I mean, like if you look back on, the days of Rain Man, that's all we knew about autism. Now we have a lot more. It when things become widespread enough, they get awareness, they get research, they get science. There is a whole lot of red tape happening in the medical community right now, and it's getting worse. But I think that we can be creative about getting through it. So if we can't cut the red tape, maybe we can go around it.
Yeah, exactly. Shifting gears a little bit, one of the many things that I find so inspiring about you is all the adventurous travel you take on, despite how difficult that can be with everything you're juggling. It's basically a whole other full-time job just to work out the accommodations and details for the travel that, other people never have to think about.
They
So
choose, yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot just a tiny bit here for
Please.
accountability and say that the world is really counting on you to find a way to share everything that you've learned and build a community around it. But for now, as a
I
baby
would love
step
that.
into that, can you give us just one top travel tip that you've learned for disabled or neurodivergent globetrotters?
Definitely can do that. I want to say, one, it's my favorite job. And two, that people think this is across the board with the healthiest of people. People think they kind of scoff at me a lot, like, oh, I can. People choose not to travel. And that's a choice that they are willing, that they can make. And I accept that. But for people to say they can't do it is not accurate, because as a disabled, quote, disabled, enabled person, I choose that. I choose to do it. The first thing that I do do is get my meds. You cannot, I mean, to take a pill case, all these pill cases, too heavy. So I put them in like, I do this first. Every day, the days, the nights, all that is separated. That's the first, it takes 8 hours, but I'll do it. The next thing is, what are your basics? Like, you need your footwear, you need your dry gear. And then really, it's really a working backwards situation. Okay, well, what I want to say is, like, we make do because we're gonna make do, and that's true for everyone. We think we need more than we do. I'm guilty of that. I don't need 5 knee braces on one trip. So gear is important, and also to trust that you're gonna have what you need when you need it. And actually, in the last trip, I didn't, but it turns out I was better off than a lot of people. And the best part of travel is you're working with what you have, and you're gonna make do. And I want to remind myself, you, anyone, that we actually do a better job than we think we do making do. So
I
you go
agree.
from there. There are less crises than we think. So, your hip may come out of place, your shoulder may come out of place, you're freezing and you have every layer on. And ultimately, you're gonna get up the next day and do it again, because we do. We're more capable than we think.
Yeah, I love that.
Also, travel pillows, blow up pillows.
So, two takes. Oh, yeah, that's a good one too. Especially inflatable because you they can smash down
Inflatable,
small, huh?
totally. I have a lot of like little trips and tips for the actual travel part.
Yeah. In the forthcoming book, maybe. So two takes on the same question. When it comes to travel, number one, what do you think we as a neurodivergent population get out of travel that makes it so special for us? And two, what do you think we contribute to the travel experience that nobody else can?
I'll work backwards. Connection. I mean, I get like, for some reason, London tube, London trains, I get, that's the place for me to go to get hit on randomly. Like, people gravitate. I don't know why, but they do. And I think in part it's because I'm happy, I'm in my element, I'm moving. So movement is one thing, to then go to your first question. I think we like to be stimulated. And of course, we shut down when we're ever neurodivergent or not, people shut down when they're overstimulated, and that's a fair thing, especially in this day and age, with smartphones and all. And that can go both ways, keep your phone charged. But like, when I'm traveling, I'm not on my phone all the time. I'm really trying to stay present. And there are dopamine hits. I mean, straight up, I don't even know that I understand dopamine hits. I actually heard that that's a really bad term. So let me not say that, or let's come back to that and revise it later. But it's a connection to the world and feeling alive. And to me, one of the hardest things about living in Georgia has been that I have experienced a lot of people who could travel, who could have their passport, who can go, who do have the means, and for some reason choose not to. But I find the people that I learn the most from, and that I can give the most from to, and that really like jack my happy place up, are people who have been in different communities perspectives. Here's what, you might be in flooded out of a hike and in the middle of a village in Morocco in a cold rain. And if you're with people who are open to it, it's the coolest thing because you know what? We're gonna get by, we're gonna do our best, and you know you're gonna do your best. There's something of maybe it's getting out of your comfort zone, but I think it's really about empathy too. And compassion. And for me, like not being stuck. My sister and I came up with this the other day. I mean, I think I said it to her. She said, write it down, do a piece of art. You are not stuck here. This is a privilege we have. Even as a disabled person, we are not stuck here. Anything you can do to move yourself into a new perspective, to me, makes someone else, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel more alive. And I also appreciate other people who can have that awareness. It makes them so much more able to field you and their next challenges.
Oh, that's beautiful. Everything you said has so much richness and vitality to it, and there are so many different directions that could go. I think you're right too, that we give and get some of the same things, like empathy and compassion and a sense of accomplishment for having lived through, some epically flooded trail or something. That's
Do you
all.
think people are afraid of that?
I would hazard a guess that many probably are. Especially when I think about the overlap of ADHD and anxiety and
Right.
the fear, I guess, of uncertainty and not knowing exactly how things are going to go, that probably gets in the way for a lot of people. But one thing that you've done so beautifully is to let your faith and your trust that things will work out and we will do what we need to do overweigh the fear of uncertainty. And that seems to be a way that you're able to keep going on these incredible adventures.
Maybe that's my best discipline. I did that 1200 day meditation and then I felt undisciplined since then. But what I think I told you the other day, one of the unexpected best takeaways from my most recent long trip is that I found myself more and more saying, because I had moved around, had gear problems, had this problem, had sciatica, had virus, one drains, water bottles filling. I is that I learned to trust myself, and maybe that's a discipline.
It sure is. Absolutely. Beautiful. So, all right. So, as we have to wrap up here, I would love to know if you have a particular parting message that you would want to leave with the person listening today, especially if that person is a woman who is also juggling chronic conditions or limitations along with having a very fancy brain. What do you want to say to her?
Well, first I'd say call me. I always want to talk. But what's so funny is that the thing I've been working on the most is trust your intuition. And I really do. I really you've been with me throughout a lot of these moments where I got a little bit bulldozed by the medical community instead of listening to my intuition. And then the funny thing is last night, we're putting my dog down and they don't show up. So, am I going to trust my intuition? I think it's just I'm in a new level now. It's just keep climbing, keep climbing, keep trusting. You're the only one that walks in your boots. And for some reason, especially as women, and especially in the information age and this thing and that thing, we're inundated with messages that are as a tale as old as time Don't listen to yourself. And I would say, absolutely listen to yourself. And when push comes to shove, and you are on your deathbed, and you are facing whatever it is you think you're facing, whether it's spiritual or just biological, you have to be at peace that you did your best. And I'm learning that regret and remorse really aren't going to help.
Well said.
Could have simplified it.
No, I don't know. I think it's
I
too
don't
complex
know.
to simplify.
It is complex.
You said it just right. Well, Alyssa, thank you again so much for being here and sharing so generously. I just know that this story is going straight to the ears of someone who really needs to hear it. And I appreciate your openness and willingness to do this.
Always. I adore you, and I really do hope, someone finds value somewhere.
They will. I just know it. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, Darwin.
Here's today's lab kit, three ideas from this episode that you can start using in your own life today. Number one, before you spiral out, use your decision filter. So the next time you feel mentally flooded, or when you have a giant to-do list with so many items on it that all feel urgent, they all feel important, they all feel like they're top priority right now. When you're having trouble sorting through what's really the most important thing to start on, and you're stuck because you can't pick just one, that's when the decision filter comes in. It's designed specifically for those moments when everything feels urgent, it's all overwhelming, and you're stuck because you can't choose just one to begin with. This decision filter in 5 steps will walk you through finding the one thing that genuinely matters today so that you can get a win and you can allow good enough to be good enough for now and count as completion. That tool again is at fit-ology.com/decision-filters. And of course, that will be in the show notes. Experiment number two is practice somatic interruptions when you're overwhelmed. So, when you notice yourself spinning with anxiety or shame, or even just over-explaining yourself, see if you can pause and orient yourself physically instead of mentally. Now, as we all know, there is a constant feedback loop between body and mind. So, each one is going to help the other in this process. But what you can do is as simple as pressing both feet firmly into the floor. Maybe both hands onto the table or whatever surface you have. Loosen your jaw. See if you can relax the other muscles of your face. You can even look slowly around whatever space or room you're in and try a grounding exercise called the six senses. Usually it's 5 senses. I have a special one added for those of us with fancy brains. So it's six with me. And I'll run through that for you quickly now. So, as you are in this space and orienting yourself using body and mind, name 5 things that you can see, 4 things that you can hear, 3 things that you can feel on the outside of your skin. So, that might be like an itchy clothing tag, or the seam on your socks, or the seat beneath your hips. Then, another 3 things that you feel inside your skin. So, that might be something like a tiny headache coming on, or a hunger pang, or maybe your heart is racing a little bit. Maybe your muscles are sore from a workout. So, 3 things you feel outside your skin, 3 things you feel inside, then 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. Running through those senses just helps bring us back into the moment, and it stops the spiral of anxiety that often is about the future. And the third experiment is to create a supportive friction item for a hard day. Just pick one object that makes a difficult moment easier on your nervous system. So, as Alyssa was saying, maybe a soft wrap, a fidget, a travel pillow, maybe it's gum or headphones or earplugs, knitting, tea, it can be anything. Put it somewhere accessible before you need it, because the goal here is not Optimization, the goal is making the hard minutes just a little bit more survivable. That's your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit for today. I hope you'll try one of these experiments and let me know how it goes. And please share it with someone who really needs to hear it today. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.